Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, my talkers, happy Tuesday. We're hanging out with Lori and Julia. 3 o'clock here. What is in store for us today? We got to remember something big, do we not?
Yes, we do. 79 years ago on this day, June 6th, troops from the United States, Canada, Britain, and France stormed the beaches of Normandy, which turned the tide of the war. They succeeded, but not without cost. So never forgetting the soldiers, sailors, and airmen who fought for freedom during Operation Overlord. And on the front page of the Star Tribune today, it was Associated Press. You know, because they do the commemoration every week. And I, in 2019, Casey and I had gone
every
to Paris.
Year.
Yeah, every year they do it on June 6th. But we'd gone to Paris, and I had always wanted to go to the beaches at Normandy and to go there and see everything. And you can either take the train from Paris, or they have small escorted tours, and that's what we did.
How
and
far
it was pretty.
Away
it drive? Was like a 2-hour drive,
one direction. Okay,
yeah, and so you leave pretty early in the morning, but it is so stunning to go and see. And there's like Gibson Beach. There's all these different beaches, but it looks just like it did when they landed that day. Nothing is built on the beach.
Wow.
Beaches, all the little towns, Saint-Mère-Église, and all these little towns fly to this day the American and the French flag.
Aww.
The American cemetery sits on a bluff overlooking Normandy Beach, and
wow.
I wonder how many people are buried there.
It's 5,000, I believe. I think 4,414 Allied soldiers lost their lives that day, as we see from Saving Private Ryan, how horrific it was. Every cross has their carved marble, and it's just really, really stunning. And there's a little World War II museum in one of the little towns, but They come out, they have a parade every year. This year, there's one guy, he's 99 years old, Robert Gibson. It's the first time he's been there since he landed there as an 18-year-old.
Wow.
And he landed on D-Day in the second wave of assault troops, and he's there for the first time in 79 years, and they had a great picture of him and on the beach. But if you ever do go to France, right, it is so wonderful and memorable.
For perspective, Lori, okay, because we've seen, you know, how the waves went in of the U-2 boats and went in, and the people, you know, paratrooped in, everything that happened. How are we talking miles?
Miles.
Okay,
miles.
We're talking miles long, the beaches. Okay.
Yeah, what they did, so the beaches were codenamed Omaha, Utah, Juno, Sword, and Gold.
Okay.
And carried by 7,000 boats. And the Americans attacked Juno, heavily defended Omaha. I think the Canadians were at Juno Beach.
Okay.
And the Brits and the French were at other beaches. But one of the things that you learn when you visit the World War II Museum in Normandy is because this was like a planned, for months, but up just north of Calais, they did cardboard, like move. I think Hollywood made almost like replicas of what looked like tanks and all these other things to throw Hitler off, so that they thought that they were attacking up by Calais.
Sure. Genius.
Which is way north, and Hollywood made like these sets and things so that aerial views, it looked like something was, like they were staging for something. So it was
to
total,
get them off guard.
As the kids say, fake out.
Yeah, fake out. Wow, that's an amazing.
And Natalie just sent us a note. There were 9,386 soldiers that are buried there at Normandy.
At the total, yes. Because it's not just Americans, right, I guess, that are buried there. But it is like you will totally cry.
Right.
And the guide that we had.
The guide is everything, don't you think?
Yeah, we had just a wonderful, wonderful guide. And, you know, when you look out at the beaches, you see bunkers that are still in the sand and they've left everything as it is. And there might just, if there was a small cafe or a small hotel that was there, it's still there. But there's no development that's ever happened. Wow. There are these just big, huge sandy beaches for miles north, as you can see. And then all these cute little towns. And, you know, the paratroopers from the 81st Airborne, I think it is, they jumped like at 3 a.m. before the assault boats landed in the farm fields. And my former father-in-law was a paratrooper, and he said out of like 18 paratroopers out of every plane, maybe 3 would survive.
Oh.
Because they're jumping in the middle of the night.
Don't know what's
German
there.
Troops might be shooting at them, landing in trees.
Yeah.
Raleigh landed in a French farmer's, you know, field, and wasn't hurt when he landed, and they had little tiny bicycles that were
in their
part
pack?
Of their gear.
Okay.
So that they could just put out the little bike and
the wheel
so that they could go to wherever they were supposed to go to set up the comms lines. Wow. Just kind of amazing.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And when you think of how slow the communication was, because there wasn't the internet, you know, there wasn't anything we have now. I mean, it's fascinating.
Point. It is. And we do so many World War II novels and stuff like
always
that.
I've been fascinated.
If you ever go, you know, to France, it's so, so worth it. And the towns come out and they just have a big parade, and, you know, they're very, like I said, they fly the American and the French flag in those little towns.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And the French, those people were helping in the resistance and mm-hmm. hiding and taking care of people. And so just really something else. So I always like to.
I love hearing you talk about Normandy. I mean, it really would be a dream to go there because
it's incredible.
It
makes
history,
it seem so real,
right,
too.
Right.
And also, you know, we know it like from seeing movies, but then to actually stand there and even. The day that we were there, you know, our guide was like, this is kind of the weather. It was sort of like 50 and lightly raining. This is what it was like that day on June 6th.
We were there. To get into the ambience and the mood setting. It's really something.
Gives
you goosebumps.
Yeah, wow. It really is something. So.
And thank you for everyone who serves.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the service, who serves us.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. They give so much and we don't really, they don't get back everything that mm-hmm. they deserve. You know what I mean?
Truth. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It
really is just moving.
Yeah. You telling that story was,
I was just finishing this book by Kristen Hanna called Homefront. And it was a few years ago that she wrote it. And it's about these two women helicopter pilots in the Iraq war. But one of the things that, you know, we say it's PTSD. Is that what we call mm-hmm. post-PTSD? Post-traumatic stress disorder. In the Civil War, they called it a soldier's heart. In World War II, they called it shell-shocked. World War One, shell-shocked. World War II, battle fatigue. And it's just about how people's hearts and minds can be broken
when they come
with what they've seen, what they experienced, because it's so horrific. But I think soldier's heart is kind of like
that's touching,
isn't it? That's how they would describe soldiers that were suffering from the trauma of what they endured. They're suffering from a soldier's heart, is what they said.
Born on the 4th of July, about that.
Tom Cruise coming home from Vietnam.
Yeah, and just mm-hmm. being kind of offset on everything and getting back into normal society.
And paralyzed.
That's
an amazing movie.
Yeah.
He should have won
an Oscar for that one. That's amazing.
Well, I'm glad he doesn't get to have Oscar winner attached to his name. All right, listen, we come back. It's our story we can't get enough of.
Grant here for Hopp and Weber Construction, your hometown experts for over 30 years when it comes to exterior home facelifts like siding, roofing, windows, doors, gutters, and even solar. Now, back in the day, Mike and the Hopp and Weber show was here on Sundays on My Talk for years, and now I get to talk about them every day, and I'm so excited about this. And the coolest thing about Hopp and Weber Construction is they're just like My Talk. They value their employees. and their customers, and they really give back to the community. Now, also, I want to point out that whenever they're dealing with any type of sale or fix to your home, they don't pressure you in a high-pressure, one-stop close sale. They walk you through the entire process because they know this is a big decision for you. And they even have a nice showroom right in New Brighton off of 35W that you can take your kids and your dog to and get a good idea of what these new adjustments to your home will look like. Again, they're not going to pressure you in a high-pressure sale. They're going to walk you from start to finish. They'll handle all the insurance problems and situations that you don't want to handle. And if you want their help, reach out to Jason and the sales team at hwconstruction.com.
Yes, Sex in the City debuted on June 6th,
that's right.
25 years ago, 1998, and we've Sex in the City put out sort of a, just a trailer, a montage of all the highlights, and of course, it's quite fun to look at. You can take a look at that. I think, Grant, you also posted our nipple episode?
Yes.
Season 4, episode 6, if you're just joining us, our invention was on Sex in the City.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to play a little bit of audio later on for
us. We can play it right now.
Do you want to play it right now?
Do you want to do it now?
Sure.
Julie and I were on location when they filmed this episode. I wrote to Michael Patrick King after I met Kristen Davis at Fashion Week in Bryant Park, and no one had responded from HBO New York. I wrote to Darren Star and Sarah Jessica Parker and found out, no, Michael Patrick King in L.A. is who you have to write to. And I gave Kristen Davis some nipples, promised not to tell anybody that I gave them to her. And when we did end up getting, and we're the only outside of the writer's room idea to make it on the show. And that is confirmed from Cindy Shupak, who
I got goosebumps
had a book out and was on our show a couple years after we started. And she's like, you guys, the nipples, we got those things in the mail. And Michael Patrick was like, take these things out for a spin. And like three of them wore them and three of them didn't. And she was like, oh, yeah, we got to use this. So is this where they're in the bar?
Yes, they're in the bar together talking. And they just kind of start bringing the product out. And then we can kind of go from there.
Okay. I know what you do. Don't call him. Don't email. Just show up at his furniture store wearing these.
Ew, what are those?
Fake nipples. And why are we carrying them around? They were sent to me as some kind of promotional thing.
Really? Is there a nipple council? Are nipples getting a bad rap?
Nipples are huge right now. Open any magazine. It's not that cold. Those girls are either tweaking or they're wearing these.
Sam, put them in. I want to see how they work.
Oh, okay. No. Samantha already leads with her breasts. It's not a very good experiment.
Miranda, you try them.
Oh, yeah. Now that I'd like to see.
I'm not certain, but I have a feeling my boobs were just insulted. All right, cover me.
Okay. So she's tucking them in.
Yep, she's applying right now.
That's obscene. Okay, walk.
Rocky, everyone's staring.
There they are.
We have secretly replaced Miranda's normal nipples with rubber ones. Let's see what happens.
Every man is staring at her as she walks.
Smiling.
And then she goes, they work.
I want my nipples back.
Yeah, they work. So, yeah, we stayed for the dress rehearsal of that scene. But by that time, it was like 10 o'clock. We'd been there since like 5. We're like, we're out of here. And Kristen's like, you're not going to stay for the actual taping? And we said, no, we got to go out. And then Sarah Jessica Parker toasted the nipple. The nipple chicks are here. Let's everyone give a toast. And
on the set, it was, one of the things that I just... Hurry up and wait. We have always said we understand why these romances happen in these campers. We understand. I mean, it is the most boring thing in the world to be an actor.
And then, the movie, the TV set, like it's this big warehouse at Silver Cup Studio. And it's all, there's saw horses here. And then the next, all of a sudden you turn a corner and you're in Carrie Bradshaw's apartment and then her closet, So it was kind of cool to see how they, film all of that. And Julia's asking the, what was that lady's name who gave us the tour? The prop master.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Tolls, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
And you're walking with her and I'm in Carrie's closet and trying to shove a Jimmy Choo on my foot, and you know, I was like Cinderella's ugly stepsister with just like my big toe fitting in the shoe. But I was just like, I gotta try.
We just
in the
didn't
shoe.
Even know how cool it was.
Yeah,
I mean, we had no idea. And this is before we started here. And then I'm gonna post it on the Lori and Julia our Instagram page today. It's kind of a photo montage of the launch when season 4 episode 6 was on. So it was 2002 and we had a big party at Boom, which is now
the Bulldog.
The Bulldog. And
Northeast?
And University or Hennepin.
Yep. I think the Bulldog is gone now, actually. I think it's something else. It just left a couple years ago. I think it's something new now, but
But I'll post it. I mean, we look very young.
That's so cool.
We look very young.
Well, it was 25 years ago, Julia.
And you guys can go watch that scene, you listeners, right now if you want to go to the Lori and Julia show page. It's posted there. If you want to get a more visual idea of what you just heard, it's fascinating.
It's an interesting episode. Awesome. I made the mistake of trying to listen to a podcast on it today because I just wanted to relive it, you know?
Oh, they dissect each episode?
Specifically, season 4, episode 6, Baby Chalk is Cheap. And I was so bummed.
Well, they probably had people who didn't know what they were talking about. They didn't know their pop culture facts about nipples,
but
you know.
The nipple prosthetics, and then they went off on how they didn't look good on small breasts. But it was it's the absolute perfect protrusion of a nipple. I mean, now it seems...
Think Farrah Fawcett in the poster.
The it's red. That.
Think Jennifer Aniston
and
Friends.
Think owning your own sexuality and making, you know, it's an accessory. And so anyway, it was just, they didn't get...
No.
You know, so it was kind of
They didn't get the assignment.
Well, it was disappointing.
I get that.
I expected a little bit more kudos. Nope.
That's why I don't listen to podcasts dissecting something like that.
I was just
you guys lived it. You did it. That was pretty awesome.
I will.
But it's funny because, you know, with Kim Cattrall's news about doing this Samantha cameo in the final episode of Just Like That, what will be the cliffhanger, coming out on the same day as And Just Like That is Kim Cattrall's new TV series, which Grant posted the trailer. It's called Glamorous. It kind of looks like Ugly Betty is what the vibe reminds me of.
Yes, it
Kim
totally
Cattrall
does. Totally
is this
does.
Former model starting this makeup line. It looks super cute. It's called Glamorous, and that starts on Netflix on the same day, June 22nd. So good timing on Kim Cattrall's part.
She's all over the news with it.
Yeah.
Good PR.
Mm-hmm. Lori and Julia here with Ann Tresser of Tresser Law. We have been working with you for years, but we've never really talked about prenups. Give us the lowdown.
Well, a prenup in the state of Minnesota is also called an antenuptial. So if you hear that, they're talking about the same thing as a prenup. I encourage a lot of people to consider getting them, whether you have a ton of assets or little assets. It makes everything much more streamlined. You know what you're entering into. You've got your agreements in place if you get divorced in the future. They also address what you will do with your assets in the event of death. So it really helps for estate planning, and it really just helps for the future to avoid disputes.
I love that. Okay, so, but what about a postnup?
Postnuptial agreements are simply agreements that people who are already legally married enter into that, again, will also address what would happen to their assets in the event of divorce or in the event of death. So again, these really can help streamline the process in the future.
Great information. And for your free 1-hour divorce consultation, go to trusterlaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
Yes, we're on the road for the next 3 Thursdays. Mark That's your right. calendar.
That's right. Loji on the road.
Thanks for playing a little Beyonce. We posted for your viewing pleasure. Vogue had this that her wardrobe on this Renaissance World Tour is just like impeccable. And She's, of course, she and her husband are brand ambassadors of Tiffany, and she's diamond encrusted earpieces, the monitor in her ears, and these beautiful long. I love shoulder duster earrings.
I do too.
For people who are of a certain age, they're back in, and she's got these gorgeous. She's got 41 pairs of custom Jimmy Choos that fit her really well. Probably have extra oomph or something because she's out there dancing things. So those are you know, posted for you. And the ear monitor has 4.5 carats of diamond.
Okay. I mean, wow.
So she's sparkling from every direction. It just couldn't get any more fabulously lavish. Paul McCartney is at Beyonce's concert in London right now. He popped up on doing a little strike and a pose. So that's happening. Also happening, Julia, talking about Sex and the City 25 years ago. 10 years ago, a show debuted that we fell in love with. Outlander.
Do you have
some music?
No, we got
some audio.
Audio
okay.
here, yep.
Oh my gosh.
Katrina Belfi and Sam Heughan were on GMA this morning. And I mean, the last and final season of Outlander starts June 22nd on Stars.
And if you don't get Stars, you can watch them a little later on Netflix or Hulu or somewhere else playing.
Yeah, but it might be after the whole season.
Sure, it will be.
Yes.
It will be after the whole season. So anyway, but here, Katrina and Sam sitting on the couch with the GMA folks. And Julia and I met Katrina 1 year at the SAG
party. I feel like the very first year after it, she'd on this beautiful mango. We had matching dresses. I was wearing a mango dress and so was she.
So was she.
And she was so lovely and she didn't know anybody.
No.
And she was brand new to the scene.
Yes.
And just, we're like, we love your show more than anything.
Oh,
you know,
I know it. Okay, so let's play the little audio.
And 10 years since the beginning of all of this.
Wow. We were young when we started.
What advice would you give to that person, Katrina?
Oh, get more sleep. I don't know. You know, I think when we started, we were both quite new to the industry. And I think there's something about stepping into something and just being really open and naive to it, in a way, was perfect.
Yeah, and it's been an amazing journey, honestly, with each other and with our fellow cast members and crew, but also with the fans, right? I mean, 10 years. It's been an epic journey, so we're excited for this week when it's finally out.
When did you know it was going to be epic?
Oh God, well, we started filming, and I think we probably only filmed about 6 weeks of work, and they took us to New York, and we did a first fan event, and there was over 2,000 fans, and they hadn't seen anything, and I mean, I think you and I stepped out on the stage, and
what's
just
going on?
Why are you people here?
Yeah, they've been amazing. It's been such a great journey.
No, this week is always fun to celebrate with them as well, isn't it?
So, and of course, there were people who read the Diana Baladon books or whatever.
I read the very first one. And they're great books, but long. But this is time traveling, and it's such a great epic story, and the characters you love, and their love story is so.
We're on the cusp of the Revolutionary War. And of course, the Frasers, Claire, you know, they are. He's got a leg in both worlds.
Right. Jamie does. Yeah. And so. I think I haven't watched it since season 4.
Okay.
But you can watch it if you don't have Stars, which isn't that expensive to sign up for. It's like $5 for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can watch it on Hulu.
Okay. And so it's June 16th. June 16th. 22nd is when Outlander comes back. I'm super
excited. The chemistry
between
these two.
Epic.
Which
it really
leads
is.
Me to something else, but I don't know when we're talking about.
Well, speaking of something that wasn't epic, I did watch The Idol.
Oh, okay.
It took me two tries last night,
and
then I finished this morning. Well, just the one episode.
Oh, okay.
Because I just DVR'd it on HBO. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty bad. And you know how you know it's bad is when they're relying on, there was so many scenes without talking where they were showing just a hazy nightclub scene or Sharon Stone in Fatal Attraction. They showed like 3 clips from that big scanning of what is around. There's not that much dialogue because there's acting involved and The Weeknd simply cannot act.
Not even announce.
Not announce.
Not even announce. And how did he get so much power to rewrite this and get a lead part?
I'll tell you one way. He offered up his house to be used for the filming.
That is
his house.
Oh, I thought he collateral.
That she lives in.
Okay. Oh,
wow. That we see.
Okay.
The pool, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his house. So, okay, he got it.
But I could offer up my house for filming, but I still wouldn't get it.
He chopped that off, and he used it, and he said, you know, that he and Sam Levinson organically came up with that. Well, they had a different showrunner, and she left, and...
Because I think that
they disagreed on the direction.
Yeah.
And, I agree with you about Lily Rose Depp. She's I wish for better for her.
Same.
And I think that Jane Addams and Dan Levy, they try and give it lifted up. Hank Azaria is absolutely terrible as the Israeli manager.
Really?
I don't know
just,
what you, the accent
you
is.
You have no idea. It's French. It's this.
He's usually pretty good.
Oh, that no, I know he is. This is just a terrible show.
There isn't anything. It's a 6-episode season. I may possibly hate watch it just to do that because one thing I did like about it is there are so many non-talking, moody scenes where you can hardly see what's going on. Or, you know,
I could do that. I could turn my TV off.
You could speed forward and not miss a thing.
There was nothing there.
Oh, that's not good.
You know, Grant, you have to try it for us.
I will watch one episode this weekend.
Because I had to do it twice too because I fell asleep. There's nothing there.
Sorry. When you said that yesterday, you were like, I watched it, but I fell asleep. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there's my first clip.
But you know, I fall asleep. Sometimes I don't start stuff till like 11 at night. Okay. So that's okay.
This is a rare misstep for HBO, home of cutting edge but quality shows. You know, you talk about like when Sex in the City and Sopranos, you know,
Entourage.
And Succession was just Game of Thrones.
Boardwalk Empire. So many good ones.
And this show is, and you know, it, like I think you said yesterday, it was 913,000, but that's across everything on actual HBO. Mm-hmm. If you have the channel, it was only 232,000 viewers that watch this on HBO.
Oh, so that 913 was with streaming included. Oh, that's a horrible number.
So it pretty much wiped out in the ratings, and the audience likes it more than the critics, but at 63% from the audience.
Oh, I
27% from the critics.
What would you give it? I'd give it a 20.
I mean, I give it a grade D. Because the dialogue is so bad and the story is circling the drain.
Oh, it's so bad.
With these badly named characters. Mm. Jocelyn, no pop star. No, if your name was Jocelyn, they would not say to you, yes, you're the next Cher or Madonna. Even Madonna is trying to, like, she posts on Instagram, I can't get this song out of my head that was played
in
the show. It's The Weeknd and Playboi Carti and... Of course, he plays it in one of the scenes, and then his whole thing, if they dance to it, and...
Oh, it's horrible.
It's trying to be edgy, and it's falling on its face, but I will watch another episode.
Don't you think if there was a guy in that could act, that had some chemistry at least,
yes,
or something?
It would have made all the difference in the world. And they need to change some of the dialogue.
Well, it's horrible.
You know, like when she turns, her personal assistant says, I don't like this nightclub guy. He seems kind of rapey, and Lily Rose Depp says... Oh, but that's what I like about him. And I mean,
it's terrible.
Yeah. And then someone she doesn't know that she meets in a nightclub, she invites her to her house. And yes, put a scarf around my face and choke me and then cut out a hole for my mouth.
I was waiting for you to get to it. It's so bad.
I'm laughing.
It's so bad.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
It makes 50 Shades of Grey look.
I was just going to say, I mean, 50.
Erotic.
And there at least was some chemistry. There was at least good dialogue.
Jamie Dornan was the wrong Christian Grey.
Sure, but nothing like this guy.
No.
I don't think The Weeknd's going to get a lot of acting jobs after this.
He's going to have to finance it himself. He's a terrible actor. He's finding out what other people who, you know, were singers who wanted to be actors. It's the right part.
Yeah.
Like Prince had Purple Rain.
Right.
That was
but
the right part for
him. But didn't you love all the gratuitous stuff in the very first episode? The reference of Prince, the playing of the Madonna music. Yeah. The
Fatal Attraction scene.
The selfie that was, you know, questionable. Yeah. I mean, they had every little button hit.
Yeah.
It was
pretty bad.
It's cliche.
Julia.
It's just stupid. All right, good. All right. I'm glad.
But I did have to watch it.
I know.
All right, up next, it seems like streaming giants have been handing out their autobiographical docuseries right and left, and we've got another one. Hey, everybody. Lori and Julia here for First Equity. We want to thank David. He's, partnering with us on our Pride broadcast, so we appreciate that. He always steps up and is a good partner that way. He's always concerned about what's going on in our community, and working with First Equity means solutions. You have a champion on your side to help you get the very best mortgage rate or the very, very best refinancing.
Absolutely.
If that's what you need to do.
Absolutely. But you know, there's so many different programs that are out there right now available for buyers, but it would be so difficult for you to navigate through it. I know David's team excels in being really smart about everything that's out there, understanding and listening to what your situation is and what you're looking for, and finding the best solution possible. Not earning your business for one time, earning it for life, like they've done with us. First Equity, keyword David at MyTalk. All right, thanks for hanging out with us today. It is a Tuesday. We've got a lot going on here. I just want to remind you that today and the rest of the week, we're giving away a pair of tickets to Kesha at Mystic Lake sometime during our show. And that is a phenomenal place to see a concert. Reminding you again that this Thursday, that's 2 days away, we're going to be at El Burrito Mercado broadcasting live.
Whoa.
Right in the middle of happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
We're super excited about that. And I believe we're giving away a pair of tickets during that broadcast, aren't we, Grant?
Yeah, you've got Sam Smith tickets. That I think it's going to be like a kind of on-site situation.
Really fun. Yeah.
That'd
so
be
we're
a
looking
great
forward to
tell people where El Burrito Mercado is again.
Right.
Describe.
All right. Well, I'm going to look up the address.
Yeah.
But it's on
Cesar
Chavez Street. And it's across, I believe, the Wabasha Bridge from St. Paul. But people, just if you Google El Burrito Mercado, it's in West St. Paul.
It is.
It's the cutest area. And if you've never been there before, it would be really a treat for you. So bring some friends and come hang out
with us. It's a little slice of Mexico.
It's wonderful. We'd love it. They've got an outdoor patio. They've got a restaurant, the deli.
Yeah.
Look for the big yellow building.
It is.
It is a big yellow building.
All the parking is in the back.
Yes.
So that's going to be fun. And we hope you join us. In the meantime, someone's on a mea culpa tour.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger has a docu-series, because this, like I said, the streaming giants are handing out the autobiographical docu-series, like doctors handing out Ozempics to their celebrity clients. But you get one even if you don't need one. And Arnold,
everyone's doing it.
Later. And everyone is doing it. His is dropping tomorrow. It'll dive into his experiences as a bodybuilder, actor, politician, and most importantly, the two-timing cheating, which he gets candid about during his recollection of the moment his wife, Maria Shriver, found out about his affair and secret love child. Legacy gossip, people, pull up your chairs. This is back in 2011. And Maria, he said, they were in marriage counseling.
Yes, they were.
Together. And she asked him if the 11-year-old child
of their housekeeper
was his child, because anyone with functioning eyes, even at the age, I bet when that kid was two, he looked like the spitting image of little Arnie. And thus, that's why they were probably in marriage counselor. According to him, I thought my heart stopped, and then I told the truth. Yes, Maria, Joseph is my son. And then, as we know, Maria was like, hasta la vista, baby.
Well done.
And they were done. And the affair happened in 1996. Excuse me. The boy Joseph was 15.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before,
and had been coming around the house all these years.
Mm.
He was 15 years old. And I don't know what was wrong with Maria's eyes or what took so long to ask that. But Anyway, he told Entertainment Weekly, he said, I think I've caused enough pain for my family because of my screw up. Everyone had to suffer. Maria had to suffer. The kids had to suffer. Joseph, his mother, everyone. I'm going to live with it for the rest of my life. People will remember my successes, but they'll also remember my failures. This was just a major failure. I had failures in the past in my career, but this is a whole different ball game, a dimension of failure. And my son, Joseph, is a fantastic man who makes me proud, but I was wrong what I did. Yeah. But I don't want to make Joseph feel he is not welcome, because he's very much welcome. And I mean, I think that's a very good, I don't know who helped him craft that, or if that's culmination of years in therapy, but I like that he kept it in the present tense and took full ownership.
100%.
Mm-hmm. And
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, then the other thing is PR Answers. Arnold also used his docuseries to address the bad, what a badly behaved man he was on sets.
Yep.
Yeah. Grabbing.
Yeah.
And he denied the allegations at the time, saying he behaved badly sometimes in the past. And now he admits this response was wrong. He said, and this is in the Netflix series, my reaction in the beginning, I was defensive. Today, I can look at it and say, it doesn't really matter what time it is, if it's the Muscle Beach days of 40 years ago or today, that this was wrong. It was BS. Forget all the excuses. It was wrong.
Right. I really think, I want to watch this.
I do too.
I do too. I'm interested. And he has that Fabu, or what is that?
Fubar.
Fubar. And I don't.
That's a series.
It's a series. I don't even know what it's about.
I don't either.
But at the opening of it, I saw the red carpet pictures, and maybe this is just the media saying this, but his son with the housekeeper was there.
Joseph.
As were three. Chris Pratt, who's married to his daughter, Catherine, mm-hmm. and some of his and Maria Shriver's other children. And the headline was, look at how far they stood apart, kind of thing. So we don't know.
No, they don't have
relationship.
No, they don't have a relationship.
Right.
And if you put yourself in the kid's shoes.
Oh, my word.
If my dad had a baby with a housekeeper while he was married with my mom, I would not be in any hurry, in any way, shape, or form to, long lost brother, because you'd feel like you're being a traitor to your mom. Come on.
Great point.
But at the same time,
maybe down the road, right. But yeah, he didn't pose. He walked separately, but Arnold posed with his kids, with Maria and Joseph, his kids, and we've never heard from Maria,
the housekeeper, but
she was fired immediately. But she worked for the family for like 20 years.
I know she did. So here's a little bit more in this docuseries that's going to be hitting Netflix tomorrow. He talks about his dad. Okay, so Arnold Schwarzenegger is Austrian.
Yes.
And he says his dad, in this three-part docuseries, he opens up about his dad's abuse. His dad was a tyrant. He was a Nazi.
A literal Nazi.
Mm-hmm. So he talks about his tough childhood, and his older sibling named Menninghardt experience growing up in the Austrian village that they grew up in. The actor was born 2 years, Arnold, after the end of World War II, and his father, Gustav Schwarzenegger, who served as a member of the Nazi Party's primary military ring, wing, was involved in the invasion of Leningrad.
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad was buried after Leningrad underneath buildings and rubbles for 3 days. On top of it, you know, the Nazis lost the war. So his dad came home horrible person.
Yeah, very.
And he recalls how his dad would make him fight his brother, you know, all the time, and was just mean to their mom. And it was just horrible. He just said it was.
Drank.
Yeah, they drank.
Used his fists.
He just said he hit his mom. He said it was so awful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested.
I like these answers that he's even giving in the documentary.
He's calling it out.
He's like, I can't even use, that was 40 years ago. Because you hear that a lot. Well, it was a different time.
You could pat women.
We even will say that when we look back at some of the behavior we excused and the groping that happened to us and the things that were said. I mean, you know, But anyway, good so I like that.
Yeah, and good on him.
It does show therapy, but it is kind of astonishing to think that that kid was 15 and they were in therapy. And then she finally asked him after seeing him last Thursday at the house, you know,
he looks so much like him.
Because he looks so much like him. And I bet he looked like
Maria him. Maria and the pain. They're still not divorced.
No, they did finally get divorced.
Oh, did they finally get divorced?
They did, like, just like maybe last year, they just got divorced. It took like 10 years to work out all, because I don't think they had a prenup.
No.
They were together for a very long time.
She was so young.
Late 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it devastated her, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
It wouldn't devastate you?
Of course it would. Yeah. No, but I mean, and she's really an inspirational follow on Instagram.
Instagram
and Twitter. She's a beautiful person. I love her. So we were just talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver, if you're wondering.
Yeah, that's great. No word if he's going to apologize for farting in Miriam Margolis's face, as she told us in her memoir. Okay.
Oh, my God.
We'll be right back.